Expectation, I have come with expectation. And I can feel God here right now. The presence of God is so thick in this room. And I just believe He's ready to tip us right over into something awesome. And I believe tonight's a night of breakthrough for many people. And many lives are going to get set on fire tonight. And the greatest fire that ever hit London is still to come. And we're waiting for nothing less than that. So this is why we're here. We're here for a fire. The fire of our God that's going to come and change everything. We hope for Him. It's good to welcome Sean and Lucas and Tiffany and Simon. Let's just welcome them. They've come to minister to us. We're just going to let Sean do what he feels the Spirit wants to do. And just encourage you to open your hearts to whatever Father wants to do here tonight. Just open your heart, open your expectation. Say, Father, I'm here for You. I'm hungry for You. I want You more than I've ever wanted You. Everything in me is crying out for You tonight. Come, Holy Spirit, come.
You know, I was thinking tonight, looking at this building that we're in, built in the 1300s, which is like four times older than anything that we have in my country. If it's 100 years old in America, it's a pretty big deal. So this is amazing to be in here, but I was just thinking of all of the services, all of the prayer meetings, all of the songs that have been sung in here. All of the people for generations upon generations that have been gathering here asking the same thing that we're asking. The 1300s, 1400s, 1500s, 1600s, all the way throughout history, people have been in this building worshiping the Lord. And I was thinking tonight, the coolest thing about the Lord is that you can never exhaust Him. Basically, what that means is there's always more. There's always more. And there's always something new. The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. Every single day, there's an opportunity to see something new about the Lord. To experience something new. And I just really believe, and I know this nation has a lot of really cool histories of the past moves of God, but I'm telling you, there is a new move. There is a new way. There is something new that is springing up in the ground. He's just looking for people that are hungry enough to say, I want more. This is our seventh meeting in 5 days. And I'm telling you, I am more hungry now than I have ever been since day one. Yeah, I've had a lot of coffee today, but it doesn't matter. My heart cries out for more of God. I didn't come here for a nice, pretty service. I came to encounter the living God. I want to encounter Him tonight. I believe the Lord's releasing a sound over this city, a sound of worship, a sound of praise that's louder than every other sound. That's stronger than any other love. I believe that God's preparing the ground even next year when the nations of the world come here. When the nations of the world come here for the Olympics in 2012, I believe the sound they will hear is not the sound of a sporting event. It's not the sound of greed or the sound of lust. Or the sound of fashion, but it's the sound of worship. I believe the Lord's restoring childlike worship on this city. For too long, we've tried to worship out of this theology in our mind, trying to be proper and pretty. The Lord loves messy, loud, crazy worship. Come on, guys, look at the worshipers in the Bible. Look at David. He danced before the Lord in his underwear. He was crazy. Keep your clothes on, by the way. But I believe that God's raising up worshipers. Undignified worship. Not intellectual worship, childlike worship. I have this little girl that I absolutely love. My daughter, she just turned 6 months old a couple days ago. I miss her so much. She has grown up in meetings like this. And all she knows is worship in the presence of God. And when she gets into meetings like this, she just can't help herself. She waits till the perfectly most quiet moment of the night. And then she goes, "Wah!" And she just starts singing her heart away. The quietest moment where everyone can hear, she just starts singing. And we've tried to tell her not to sing at that time, but she just doesn't care. She's just so loves to sing and so loves to sit there with a smile on her face and so loves to just move her arms. She can't help herself. And one time when she was singing and it was really quiet and it was kind of awkward, she began to sing and I put my hand over her mouth and the Lord said, "Don't do that." He said, "I like that sound." He said, "Don't quiet your baby." And I begin to realize how religious I was. How I'm trying to teach my daughter at 6 months old how to worship and to do it this way and to do it the right way. And the Lord says, "I just love her the way she is. I love the childlike worship." And so I just pray over you tonight in this city. I believe that there's a childlike sound that's going to rise to break the heavy yoke. A sound of childlike worship and childlike love. A sound of worship that comes from the heart and not from the head. The Lord is longing to restore back throne room worship across this city. I'm not talking about worship as an industry or as an activity in church. I'm talking about worship that literally joins with the sound and the song of heaven. Worship that carries authority. Worship that removes principalities. Worship that releases healing. Worship that causes transformation. Worship that releases encounter on the unbelievers when they walk into our meetings. We don't have to try to do altar call after altar call after altar call. He's just here in the room. I believe it's the sound of redemption. It's not a sound that came out of here years ago with the Beatles and the Rolling Stones that released drugs and sex on a generation, but it's a sound of redemption. It's a sound of calling the nations back to his feet. It's a sound. It's a sound of identity. It's our sound. It's a sound reminding us who we really are, why we're here on this broken earth. Not to make a quick buck, or to work our job, or to even go through the things of life, but we're here to release the sound of worship that would move his heart. We're created for this stuff, guys. All our days, forever and ever, this is what we're going to be doing. It's not an activity, it's an identity. Lord, restore this identity, God, to this city, Lord. Lord, may London be known not just as a city with the coolest churches or even the biggest, but God, let it be known as a city that carries your presence. Arise and shine, your light has come. The glory of the Lord rises on you. Nations will come to your light. That's next year. Kings to the brightness of your dawn. Then you will look and be radiant. I just see nations coming, gathering from all over the world, flocking to this city to do nothing but release the sound of love before the throne of God. There's an apostolic calling of worship that's being restored in this day. And I believe every misguided form of worship will be corrected. Every misguided form of worship will be corrected. Not the worship of a man or a worship, the worship of a queen or the worship of a material thing, but the worship of the one true God. Believing even right now is a prophetic sign of what God wants to do. He's taking every area of misguided worship in your life. And exposing it. The first three commandments focus on misguided worship. You shall have no other gods before me. There shall be none besides me. So Lord, even tonight we just consecrate our hearts, God. It's easy to fall in love with him. It's so easy. Because the more we love, the more we see him, the more we're with him, the more our heart burns. It's like the men on the road to Emmaus. Did our hearts not burn? Oh, don't you remember? The moment you first met Jesus. Do you remember that moment? Did your heart not burn within you? You know, before all the religion came on and all the offense and the disillusionment and all the stuff, don't you remember that innocent first time where the kiss of redemption came on your heart? The place of first love. The time where you didn't check your watch all the time during the meeting. You know, you just didn't care. You just didn't care. Because when love takes over your life, you just don't care. Everything else fades away. You're caught up in another realm. God wants to catch us up in another realm tonight. So we can be put on display and a nation may be caught up in another realm. My
keep seeing the same image. All the time we've been worshiping, I just keep seeing this same image. And we're in worship and I find myself walking into a room, and in this room there were lots of painting easels. Loads and loads and loads of them. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, what's this place? And the Lord said, this is the worship school of heaven. I thought, wow. And I came and I looked at these pictures, and there were like the black outline of a picture, and I saw people coloring, and there was one and they colored and it was perfectly inside the lines, and an angel came and ripped the picture off and said no and threw it away. And you saw the shock on this person's face because they'd colored perfectly. And then I saw another person and they just got a rubber outside of their pocket and they just took all the lines off the page, and they got a handful of crayons and just went like this across the page, and the angel went yes, and they took it and they put it on the wall. And then I saw another one, and they began to color, and they deliberately colored across the lines, and the angel said yes, and they put that on the wall. And then I heard the Lord say this: for too long, my people have been worshiping within the lines which I never drew. And for too long, the creativity in my people's heart has been locked up by their fear of how other people will measure how they stay inside the lines. And there's something that the Spirit of God is wanting to release in this time that is unorthodox, unpredictable, uncontrollable, and does not stay inside the lines. In fact, by the very nature of what it is, the moment it sees a line, it immediately steps across it. And as many of you, you've been in a restrained position where it's like, am I worshiping right? Is this the right way? And I just remembered, you know, when we've got 2 5-year-olds now that have gone to school. And you know, before they went to school, the way that we measured their creativity was not by how they stayed inside the lines, but how accurately it reflected what was in their heart. But then they went to school and they were schooled how to stay inside the lines of other people's expectations. And God wants to take that lid off of our lives, and He wants us to get to that place where other people's expectations become absolutely irrelevant, and we just begin to say, like David said, you're offended by what I'm doing? You haven't seen anything yet. I'm going to become even more undignified. I'm going to become even more unpredictable. I'm going to become even more extreme. You haven't even begun to see the worship that I'm going to release to my King, because I refuse to try and carry the presence of God on a cart that's been built by the hands of men, but I'm going to begin to carry something in a different way. I'm going to begin to move in a different way outside of the expectations of religious structures and intellectual mindsets. It's not controlled, but it's restrainless. It absolutely has no ceiling. There's no rules. You want to put a whole series of colors that don't match? God don't care, as long as it's coming from inside here. You want to put chords together that aren't supposed to go together? God don't care, as long as it's coming from inside here. You want to sing in such a way that you don't sound tuneful from a world's point of view? God don't give a rip. What He cares about is, does it reflect what's inside here? So you need to let it out. Because He's just ready to release something in the earth right now that is entirely unpredictable. So I want you to stand up. Come on, stand up. And I want you to just say to the Father right now, Father, forgive me for living and worshiping inside the lines that You never drew. Just say that to Him right now. Come on, just shake it up. There's a whole load of stuff, you know, you can't praise the Lord like that. You're not supposed to do it like this. There's some things that are going to happen right now that are entirely unpredictable and totally not what anybody else is going to do. It may be something that's just totally, why would you do that? Who cares, as long as it's what's in your heart? Amen? Amen? So you need to just shake it off and you need to get outside of the box.
One day I was in the mountains. I grew up in the mountains, and one day I was in the mountains in this place called Montana. It's about 4 times bigger than this whole island. And I was there in the mountains and I was watching this eagle. And he was way, way up there. I could barely see him, like a little dot. And I could see his white head, you know? And I was just thinking to myself, how did he get up there that high? Anybody ever wonder that? It's like, how did he get up there that high? So I went home and I did all this research on eagles. And an eagle is born with the natural instinct. And this natural instinct is to find these circular pockets of air that swirl around like this in between mountains and rivers and rocks and canyons. They have a natural instinct to find these places, these circular pockets of air called thermals. And what they are is something with the high and the low pressure causes this massive push of air, this updraft of air in certain places in the mountains. And eagles have a natural instinct to find those. And how they get so high, if you watch an eagle, you'll rarely see them just flapping as hard as they can. Most of the time, you just see them hanging out. And what they do is they cruise through the mountains looking for these pockets of air called thermals. And what happens is when they hit a pocket of air called a thermal, instantly they're pressed up to a new level. They're pushed up. And I don't mean like a few feet. I mean hundreds of feet in an instant. And they don't have to do anything. No flapping, no striving, no trying as hard as they can to see how high they can get. All they have to do is find the thermal, and bam, it shoots them upward. And they begin to study that verse, you know, in Isaiah it says, those who wait on the Lord, who renew their strength, they'll rise like eagles. And they begin to understand what that verse really means. Is there are moments that we're called to wait on the Lord, not striving, not trying our hardest to perform. See, God's breaking a performance spirit off our lives. He's revealing the spirit of adoption, that we're called sons and daughters of God. There's nothing to work for. It's already won. Isn't that amazing? I see so many Christians. I meet so many Christians that they're trying so hard to be loved, and I'm just trying to tell them, you're already loved. Live out of that love. Going to church more times than your neighbor doesn't mean God's going to love you more. We don't show him our time card when we get to heaven. See, it's all about finding that place where, like an eagle, we can just cruise. And the thing about eagles, why they're so smart, is they can see from a higher perspective than any other animal in the wild. They can see dangers, they can see prey. They can see food. One time I had this eagle swoop down. I was fishing in the mountains and I didn't hear him. I didn't see him. All of a sudden, whoosh. And I had been fishing for like 5 hours. Not a bite. Not a bite. I'm sitting there roasting in the sun. And all of a sudden, whoosh, down comes this eagle, grabs a huge trout. Just like, that's not fair. But see, he's looking from a different perspective. And I believe tonight a lot of what God wants to do in this place of worship, my friends, some of us have been living down here when we're called to live up here. We were born to fly like eagles. We were born with a natural instinct to find the thermals in the spirit that push us up. And I believe tonight God's releasing a thermal and a grace for us to go higher. It's not a striving thing. It's a trusting thing. Come on, just put out your wings tonight if you want to go higher. I believe God tonight's releasing a grace for a new perspective. Some of you have been thinking too small-minded, or you've been just thinking with rights and what's right in front of you. And he wants to remind you who you are. You're an eagle. You were born to fly. You were born to soar. You were born to go high above. You were born with a different perspective. You aren't shaken with the things the world's shaken with. You're not shaken when the economy shakes. You're not shaken when wars happen. You belong to another atmosphere. Just believe tonight. There's a grace here to return back to that place of being totally, absolutely, ridiculously in love with Jesus. We can't afford to live any other way. Now, what's really funny about tonight, I want to say this and then we're going to do something. We weren't actually even supposed to be here. Like, this is just kind of a random by chance. Well, nothing's by chance with the Lord. But it's just kind of a strange coincidence. And we didn't plan. We had this kind of Saturday night open because we were going to be in London tomorrow morning. And we didn't think that we would be able to make it because we had a meeting this morning. I'm not joking with you. We've had 7 meetings in 4 days. But the Lord just opened the door, and I really felt the grace to come because I just love this city so much. I've always loved it. But I really felt like tonight the Lord released such a burden in my spirit. And we've been planning this week how next year we just want to come, and literally for 7 days nonstop, we want to worship and saturate the city. 7 days leading up to the Olympics, we want to saturate the city in worship. Nonstop. The most crazy, wild, insane worship you've ever seen to prepare the ground for what God wants to do. And so we've been talking and dreaming, and I just think so big picture. You know, I come into a city and I'm thinking, okay, God, how can we take over this city, you know? And so this opportunity opened up, and we're over there at the coffee shop that's better than Costa, the Starbucks. And sorry, don't want to offend anyone. And then this kid comes up to me. Listen, this is crazy. This little kid comes up to me and he goes, "Fire, fire, London's fire, 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 London's fire." And he's just this random family. And he has this book on the fire of London, and he turns over to me in his chair and looks dead in my eyes, says, "Fire, fire, London's fire, 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 London's fire." And he's waving this book at me. And I'm just like, kind of like, you know, that verse, out of the mouth of babes. I'm kind of looking at him like, There's something powerful in what he's saying, but I don't know what it is. And so anyway, one thing led to another. Come to find out, I had no clue that this was the very ignition point of the fire of London that happened. And you guys, I won't go into it tonight, but you don't know, but we have a ministry, a movement across the world of 100 cities. And it's called Burn 24/7. Right? That's what it's called. Burn 24/7, because our cities are literally burning with the fire of worship, prayer, and missions. Jesus said in Luke 12:49, I've come to bring fire to the earth. How I wish it were already kindled. So God's raised up this movement. Long story short, Burn 24/7, random night, Saturday night, a little bit tired from the other meetings this last few days, because in the UK they really work you if you come here, you know. Over there drinking a coffee, little kid, fire, London's fire. Found out this was the ignition place of the fire of London, and I thought, okay, God, this is a setup. Like, this is a divine setup. And I mean, stuff like that, it's just crazy when you live. I mean, in my life, it just keeps happening over and over and over again. And I really believe tonight, even as we're worshiping, that God wants to really come and ignite that fire of our first love again. I mean, this is the message that we carry all over the earth. Many, many will come to me on that day and say, God, we healed in your name. We built buildings in your name. We wrote great worship songs in your name. We fed the poor in your name. But I'll say, I didn't know you. That verse scares me. Anybody else? And I believe the Lord is not looking for the next great project that we can give him. But he's looking for hearts that are aflame with the passion of first love. That's what he longs for, to see. And I believe tonight some of you have come here, and there's been stuff along the way. You know, you loved him, you still love him. But the fire that used to burn in your heart, now it feels like a little wick that's barely alive. We've all been there before. I mean, 2010 was the hardest year of my life. I feel like the enemy was just working overtime to pour water on the fire that was burning in my heart. And Jesus said, a smoldering, it says, prophesied about Jesus in Isaiah, it says, a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Meaning that if your wick tonight is barely burning, he's not come to snuff it out. He's come to relight it. And so I just want to take a minute here tonight. We're just going to keep worshiping, but I really feel, and I've been talking with the amazing pastor who I just met, who's just a beautiful man, that, you know, he said, I feel like we're returning back to the things we once used to do. And I said, that's it. That's the picture of the whole Western church, my friends. It's happening in America right now. Literally, I mean, times where 50 hours, 100 hours straight in cities all over America, we're just learning how to fall in love with Jesus again. Why? Because we need God. We need his love. For the first commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then from that love, love your neighbor as yourself. And we're realizing we haven't been very good at the second commandment. We've seen a decline in church. We've seen a decline. We've seen a whole generation disillusioned with what we've tried to offer them. They're not disillusioned with God. They're disillusioned with our form of church. They're hungry for the real thing. And so we're getting back into the presence of God, saying, God, light us on fire again, so that we can burn with your fire, so that we can carry your love. And I just believe many of you tonight have come with that passion. I just want to invite you to come down front. I really believe there's a grace here. It's not a coincidence. We're 100 yards away from that fire. And I believe not a fire in the natural God wants to light again, but a fire in our hearts. So if you're here, does anybody here want that fire on you tonight? Wow. Check. So this is what we're going to do. I got some fiery, crazy, wild burn guys in the back. There's five of them, four of them. These guys are going to come. We're just going to worship. Don't worry about them. They're just going to come and impart and lay hands on you and pray for God's fire to come and consume you. You just go after Jesus with everything in your heart. Just go after him. And they're just going to come and they're just going to pray over you, and we're just going to believe. In fact, we just ask the Lord right now. God, we say, here we are in downtown London, God. We're 100 yards away from God, where the fire in 1666 burned through the whole city. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would ignite a fire in the spirit on the altar of our hearts, God, that would burn through the entire city, Lord. Start a fire, God, the fire of first love, God. Lord, we say we're just not talented enough and gifted enough and smart enough to make it on our own anymore. We must have your fire. We must have your fire. So, Lord, we ask for it tonight. Come on, just lift your hands. Just ask for it. Don't wait for anything. Just begin to ask for it.